Peace to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And consider these words today from St. Paul in Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and as inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Today, based on these words, I'd like to talk about mind reading. Now, I don't claim to be a clairvoyant, but I do have someone in my family who seems to have some of those skills. It's my wife and her sister, because sometimes when they are talking, and this has gone on for years, they seem to talk without words, and I have no idea what they're saying. For instance, my wife will say to her sister, and I've been in the room for some time, she'll say, "Did you know that guy?" And her sister will say, "Yeah, he's all right." And I'll say, "Wait a minute, what guy?" And they say, "Don't worry, it doesn't concern you." I don't know if it's magic or some kind of sisterly intuition, but women seem to have that gift sometimes, especially among sisters. But try as we might, we aren't able to read God's mind. Who knows what God is thinking? Our text speaks of that. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Think back through Bible history, and who would think that God would choose this unknown man, Abraham, or Abram, as his name was when God came to him? Out of all of the millions of people on earth at that time, he chooses this one person. Who would have guessed that? Or that he would have chosen the children of Israel, mere slaves, and settle them in a promised land? Or better yet, that God would become one of us. Yes, of course, there are stories in antiquity of the gods visiting, but what one of them ever suffered and died for the common person so that we could be reunited with God and made one with him? Who would have thought that this was the mind, the plan of God? We can't guess God's mind, and when we try to, we usually get in trouble. When we think that our life is the way, that our plan for our life is the way that God's plan should be for us, we usually get our wires crossed, and he usually takes time to show us that that's not the case. For instance, a friend of mine got cancer at age 45. Now, it's stage 4 lymphoma. That happens to many people, but this guy's a pastor and has a large congregation. Here's a guy who trained for years to be a preacher, and a few years into the ministry, something like this comes along. Now, I wonder, God, what are you thinking? But there's a purpose in it, God's purpose. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? He doesn't ask us for our advice, but he does hear our prayers. Now, there is a sort of way to know God's mind, but it's not guessing, and it's not anything supernatural. It's not inward meditation where we look inside ourselves to try to find out any kind of footprints that God has left there. Knowing the mind of the Lord is simply examining what he has caused to be written in the record of Holy Scripture. We have the benefit to read and study and hear those words explained. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice." And we do well to listen to that voice of Jesus, the Lord God, when we listen to that word. So today I want to encourage all of you to become a better student of the Bible. It's one thing to come and hear a sermon once a week. That's good. That's an excellent way to start each week, as you have all today, and I'm so glad to see so many people here today at St. John. But beyond what I'm going to bring to you today, there is so much more to learn from God's Word. And it takes a level of humility in ourselves to admit that we need to learn more about Jesus and his Word. but it's so important. Now, along the way, you will be learning God's plan for your life as you apply what you learn to your own life situation. And so a congregation such as ours always provides classes for children. That's a good way to help parents to raise godly children. Today we celebrate another year of Sunday school, and that is such a blessing. So we want to encourage all parents to see that their children of all ages attend these classes this year so that they might gain this great knowledge for learning. Our school, St. John's School, has begun another year of teaching, and certainly the Word of God is central to that blessed place. I especially like this time of the year because it's the beginning of my classes, catechism classes with young people, and I especially enjoy that part of the ministry. We expect Christian children to learn, so we provide all these opportunities. But what about adults? Jesus said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And then he pointed to a little child and he said, "Unless you become like little children, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Ever." What is it about a child that you should emulate? Well, number one is that a child is dependent on others. You should recognize your dependence on God. He supplies everything. The food you eat, the air you breathe, the dollar you spend, the good things that you possess, God is the reason for everything that you have. But besides that, you are dependent on God for life. We are all thinking and rational souls. We know that we only live here for a limited time. In fact, today I'm missing my friend Floyd, who always sat with me on the back pew before 8 o'clock. 90 years old, just did not wake up on Friday morning. He's with the Lord. But that day will come for all of us. The day will come when we will not be here anymore. What keeps us from just giving ourselves over in this limited time we have to just every impulse that comes to us? You know, we have a limited time left, so let's just live it up. Let's just do what we want to do. Live like a brute animal. What keeps us from that? The knowledge that God has a plan and purpose for every single hour of our lives. And every single one of us. There are rights and wrongs, and the value of our lives is measured by people, by how we live those lives in this world. But in the end, in the final valuation, we will find that we have missed the mark. We can't read God's mind, and we haven't lived in and followed his commands in the way that we lived our lives. So we are dependent totally on God for a life after this life. As an infant dependent on its mother for life and for all things, we depend on what God has done for us in Jesus and giving us a Savior. Only through him do we have forgiveness and life, and with that life, a life that will never end. As St. Paul says in our text, "Who has given God a gift that might be repaid?" No one is that answer. And this applies to every one of us. So I want to encourage all of you to devote yourselves to a deeper study of God's Word. Read it when you get up in the morning, meditate on it, and pray on it each day. Read it to your family when you gather for meals and pray together. And parents, this is a good time to start that if you haven't already, when the kids are starting school, a new routine as you get them ready or as they come home. And then come together here with your fellow believers and saints and study the Word, learning from teachers and from one another. How else can you know who you really are without the Word of God? Those Olympic athletes start home today. I don't know what that was, but God wanted you to pay attention to this. Those Olympic athletes start coming home today, and some of them are coming home with gold, you know. Some of them have won medals. Some set records. But how long is that going to last? You know, Mark Spitz's record lasted some 36 years, but now it's been surpassed, hasn't it? Greatness fades as time goes by. We are forgotten by the world, but we are not forgotten by God. He remembers his promises to us. And that's why St. Paul says, present yourselves to God as living sacrifices. Don't conform yourself to everybody else's expectations in life, what you should be doing and what you should be wearing and how you should be talking. Sure, you can change yourself, but you'll be quickly forgotten. But instead, contrary to this way of the world, be transformed by God's word, the renewing of your mind. You can't read God's mind, but his mind imprinted on the Holy Scriptures that you read and follow will be lived out in your life. And then you will know what the will of God is for your life, which God tells us is good and acceptable and perfect. What better gold can you win than that? The other thing that we learn is that if we do not think too highly of ourselves, but be humble as little children of God, we will find community in one another. We will have friendships and we will have a bond together. I see that before me today, right here, as I look at all of you and your faces. You know, there are very different kinds of people here today. We have old people. We have very young people. We have some wealthy people. We have some poor people. Some people have degrees. Some people never went to high school. Some own their homes, and some never will. All of these things are superfluous when we come together as God's people. But what binds us together is what we witness here today in this child's life. We have been washed, we have been touched by God, and our names belong to God. What makes us one is that trust in Jesus Christ as our only Savior. We are one body in Christ. So another part of learning God's word is finding out how to apply these different gifts that God has given to each of us to serve one another in the world. And that's where it gets really exciting, I think. Because some people are good at teaching. They are just natural. They absorb knowledge and they can pass that on to other people in interesting ways. And some people we recognize today, our Sunday school teachers who begin a new year. Other people are good at technology, you know, bringing teaching to others through the technology we have, whether it be on the internet or pictures or voice. Some of you like to cook. I see some smiles. You know, I went to a funeral last month, and it wasn't at this church, but there was the biggest spread of food. You know, I was wondering, because it's kind of a small congregation, I thought, are they going to have enough food at the meal? And the table was just full, and it was all beautiful, wonderful food. You don't know how comforting it is to a grieving family when all of those ladies bring on all that food. It really means we love you, and we want to help you at this time. That's some ways that God has blessed you. Some people are encouragers. Others have the means to contribute great sums of money for the work of God. Some are leaders and inspire others to service, but it's all important. These are gifts of God to be used in service to him. And so you can't read God's mind, but you can learn his plan for your life. As you study the scriptures, as you read about God's love and mercy, you will always know who you are, and you will begin to see what you're here for and how to use these gifts in the community of God. So as the year begins for various classes and groups at St. John, I urge all of you to step outside your normal comfort range and do something different. Perhaps join another new class or group that you haven't before, because it is all centered on Jesus and it all points to him as your Savior and to your true identity. So after the service, I encourage you to come down to the gym as the people have prepared for you an education fair. God be with you. God guide you as you learn his will through his word. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard and keep your hearts in Christ. Amen.